Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today, but first, we have an important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we have a great show for you today. Our guest is Gene Cassidy, President and CEO of Eastern States Exposition. Happy to have you here on Business Talk, Gene.
I'm happy to be here, Joe. Thanks for asking.
By the time people are listening to this, the Big E will be underway. What are you looking forward to the most this year?
Well, I always look forward to getting everybody together because it's an amazing feeling as a fair employee to be working for a place that just brings people together. And so I'm looking for that, forward to that. And of course, nice, sunny, cool days so that everybody has a fun time at the Big E.
I know last year's fair broke, I believe, 5 single day records and fell just short of the total 17 day attendance record. You must feel even better about this year's edition as we get even further away from the pandemic, which shut everything down in 2020.
Well, we do. You know, we try to like put that way in our the background, you know, in a rearview mirror. It goes to my response to your earlier question about getting people together, families together. I mean, the fair is all about family and friends and fun. It's one of the few, you know, places left, I think, in our society where, you know, all of our differences can be put aside and people can gather again. And I think, you know, to some large extent, that contributed to the success of last year's fair. People are so happy to be out in public again and getting their lives back to normal because everybody was affected one way or the other by the pandemic. Some to a greater extent than others, but you know, one of the biggest things we suffered was a lack of each other's company. Mm. So here we are now post pandemic, a couple of years, and we've got a really, really good fun lineup, a great cross section of entertainment, and you know, obviously the food is a big driver. That's entertainment unto itself today. So we're looking forward to all that brings in this troubled and stress-filled world of ours in the year 2023.
Yeah, you mentioned early on you're looking for some nice, cool, non-rainy days, but that's no joke, right? I mean, the weather's a huge deal when it comes to the final results, right?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, we are, you know, we talk about the entertainment, and I talked about food already, but you know, we're here to promote the agriculturalist. We're here to build markets for varieties of agriculture, and not just in New England, but you know, we are the Eastern States. And in back in the day, it was you know, all of New England plus New York and New Jersey and Delaware and Maryland and Pennsylvania, and we built ag markets for the Eastern States. Our shows today are bigger than they've ever been in our history, but it's that's kind of an interesting dynamic because they're bigger. Not because agriculture is bigger in the Eastern States, certainly not bigger in New England because it's evaporating before our very eyes, but it's bigger because now our agriculture programs include agriculture from the 48 states, contiguous states. So they come from far and wide to compete here at the Eastern States. So that's a very positive thing in a way, but you know, critically thinking, it makes me very concerned about agriculture in New England. But we are just like the agriculturalist. If the weather isn't good, then neither is our show. And we need the show to generate the revenue so that we can execute on our mission for agriculture. So every time you buy an admission ticket to the fair, you're supporting some of the country's, some of North America's most important agriculture programming that exists. And if the weather's bad, then just like the farmer, then we have a bad crop, we have a bad yield. So, you know, if somebody asks me, you know, I'm an accountant by profession, believe it or not. I started my career with KPMG and I still have the accountant in me, you know. If somebody said, hey, let's start a business whereby you're going to run for 17 days. And on the three weekends that you're running, you're going to earn as much as 15% of your entire revenue stream for the year. And I would say, no, you're crazy. I'm not going to that business. But that's exactly the business we're in. We can lose, if we lose a weekend, we can lose up to 30% of our revenue for the entire year.
Wow.
And that really is what makes us very much like the farmer.
I found this interesting because I've talked to you before about this, but tell me what your life has been like over the past year, over the past few months, and then like over the past week. I mean, what does it take to bring the Big E to life every year from each of those perspectives?
Well, we are well on our way for the past, probably since February, March, trying to build out the entertainment schedule for 2024. So, you know, it takes about 18 months to produce a fair. We've been doing it for a long time. So a lot of what we do is like embedded into the calendar, and we get very, very busy, you know, on next year's fair in the wake of the beginning of this year's fair, right? Or anticipating this year's fair. So, you know, and I've seen it change. This is going to be my 30th fair at the Eastern States.
Wow. Congratulations.
It doesn't seem that long to me. It seems like just a minute ago, but things have changed a great deal, especially with entertainment, because, you know, 30 years ago, there was a lot more available to the fair industry, particularly in country acts. But then with the advent of the casinos, the competition for the entertainer became, you know, quite difficult as these, you know, places like Live Nation, companies like that were being hatched out and built up. You know, they could promise entertainers a great deal more than a fairgrounds could deliver to them. So the price of entertainment really went off the charts. When I first started in the business, you could buy Willie Nelson for $30,000 and he would give you 2 75-minute shows. So there'd be one in the afternoon and one in the evening. Faith Hill, she'd $35,000. She'd give you 2 shows. You know, today to get big names, you know, we had to start charging for our biggest names because it got to the point where we were giving away $150,000 acts and we just couldn't afford to do that. But today it's not unusual for us to write checks for $325,000 to get an entertainer to come in here. So we try to break even on some of the entertainment. We can't compete with air conditioned green rooms and high end catering. And you know, if it rains, you know, it can be troublesome, you know. So we have to do the best we can to bring the best talent we can to the marketplace, and we've had a tremendous history of that. If your listeners visit the Eastern States Exposition's historical museum, located adjacent to Storyton Village, you can see a great deal of our entertainment history, where some of the best entertainment in America was available to a fairgoer, you know, going back to the very beginning.
That's very true. You mentioned that the entertainment planning is an 18-month out process, but what else goes into the decisions around shows, attractions, food, anything else that kind of people look forward to? What I'm getting at is, are there discussions every year about how to keep everything fresh and new, and give people, you know, what they're looking for?
Oh, by all means. I mean, that's why we're constantly, you know, I have to travel a great deal in my role as the CEO of the Eastern States, but I also, I'm the immediate past chairman of our International Trade Association. So that kind of gave me a little bit of an advantage, if you will, because I could see what the trends were in the industry, both in the fair industry, but also other entertainment, you know, music festivals and things like that. So we're always looking for new creative food products. We're also always looking for new industrial type products, you know, that that what in the old days we would call industrial arts. Those, and you know, that's the latest light bulb and the latest shower head and the latest mop and the best car, you know, washing rags and those sort of things that fairs were, you know, back in the old days, fairs were used as an outlet to promote new products. You know, today we have the internet, right? So, and there's a huge movement towards that. So, but there are things here that you can't get just anywhere else yet. There's a tremendous trade show out in Las Vegas that's produced each January. It's very big. It's by invitation only, actually. It's called the Consumer Electronics Show. And if you can get to that show, you will see electronics being brought to market at that trade show that won't hit the stores until 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. And that's really what the fair used to deliver to the fair going public. And we try to be on the cutting edge of products so that people can see new fun stuff. And then of course we have our craft people, which are very, you know, very important for the shopper, and, sure. and picking the best crafters from across the country is something that we are engaged with on an ongoing basis.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking today with Gene Cassidy, President and CEO of Eastern States Exposition. Gene, we've talked in the past about the regional economic impact of the Big E in Eastern States. Can you tell me a little bit about what that impact is?
Yeah, it's a subject that I'm fond of talking about, and it's, you know, it stems from, you know, again, my accounting background. It's easy to take legacy organizations for granted. We've been around for 107 years at this point. And we've had an impact on the agriculture markets, as we've already discussed. But, you know, we also have a very dynamic impact on our regional economy here in Greater Springfield, Hammond County, Western Massachusetts, and New England, that it can get lost in the sauce, if you will. So we hire a major economic modeling firm, one of the premier economic modeling companies in the country, in the world, perhaps, Regional Economic Models, Inc., REMI for short. REMI was hatched out of the University of Massachusetts about 40 years ago, and they do economic modeling for Fortune 50 corporations and governments worldwide. And they measure our economic output at about $750 million. Wow. Now that's the, you know, what the magnification process of money changing hands at the fairgrounds, in our marketplace, with hotel rooms and automobile purchases, people who, you know, who come to the fairgrounds and come into Western Massachusetts and wind up doing business here. So that's really dynamic. As a matter of fact, you know, I would venture to say that it makes the Eastern States one of the top 10 economic drivers for Greater Springfield. Sure. Maybe even one of the top five. And so our impact on our economy has a positive impact on the pocketbooks of every person who lives in Hamden County. And that can be measured, and REMI measures that quite significantly. Simply the amount of sales taxes collected here is really tremendous. And it makes us here in Western Massachusetts, and I say us, I mean every citizen, every resident, everybody should buy into the mission of the Eastern States, because it does good for agriculture in a very positive way for the nation. It does good for our economy in a very positive way for each of us taxpayers. And it's your fair. And it's something that, you know, I'm amazed when I travel throughout the country to the fairs, and I see how people have a tremendous bond to their fair. And I like to think that that's shared by citizens of our region here in Western Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think even beyond the financial multiplier impact of the fair, I've been going since I was a kid. I'm sure a lot of folks you talk to have memories from childhood. I mean, it's important to the cultural life of Western Mass, right?
Oh, by all means, you know, and like you, you know, I'm the first manager here at the Eastern States who was a native born son to the town of West Springfield. I mean, I boast about the fact, and I love saying these words. My office is within walking distance of the house I was born and raised in the Mittenaig section of West Springfield. And I'm incredibly proud of that. And so, yes, the Big E is part of our DNA. And that, you know, that accumulates, you know, to the fondness, I think, that all of us who are work or volunteer at the Eastern States, you know, we take great satisfaction in the way people appreciate the fairgrounds.
Speaking of some fairly new additions to the fair, I think in recent years you added something called the front porch that I think local businesses might be interested in. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the front porch, you know, one of the missions of the Eastern States from its very charter is to increase the economy. So that's, you know, to build economic impact. And we've always been a launch pad for new products. Now, if you roll the clock back 100 years, those new products were things, and, you know, being in Springfield, we were able to advance to the nation new products that nobody had ever heard of before. We had Westinghouse in Springfield. We had the Fisk Tire Company, the Fisk Tire Rubber Company. They made the first commercial automobile tires ever created on Earth here in Chicopee, and it became Uniroyal. You know, there were so many firsts in Springfield that were released through the Eastern States Exposition. And today we've dedicated some real estate to small businesses who are hatching out. You know, they're launching, you know, new ideas and new products. So we created a space called the Front Porch. And geographically, that's located in front of the Better Living Center, between the Better Living Center and the Court of Honor stage and the Brooks Building, which is where my office is. And it allows, we have about seven new businesses and hatching out their products. And it could be a food product. It could be a manufactured product. It could be a decorative product, and actually two of our features from 2022 have gone into business, and they're so busy they can't come back this year. Wow. So we have two new concepts that will replace them in the 2023 fair, and it's. You know, it's fun. It's fun to be a part of. You know, it's almost like, you know, like a venture capital event where, you know, people bring ideas and they get them to market, or they get a large group of people, and then the market can respond to whether, you know, their idea is good or bad. And in this case, we've got a couple that the idea was so good that they don't have room in their calendar for us now.
Good problem to have. And I've talked to you over the years about this, but how has the Big E evolved over time, and our agricultural fair is still evolving?
Well, yes. I mean, in order to be relevant, you have to be responsive to your customer base. And I think, you know, I often am quoted as talking about the American way of life. I mean, we have something very special here in the United States to celebrate, and that is our lifestyle, each other. You know, I get to travel, you know, all over the world, and there's no other place on earth that has anything that that comes near what an agricultural fair does. As a matter of fact, we have my trade association, the International Association of Fairs and Expositions. We have been exporting the American style of fairs for the past 25 years. And, so it's something, again, that's something that we take for granted as Americans. But it's something that should be celebrated, and we should be reminded, you know, what is it? You know, again, it's a legacy event, and it's, you just kind of brush it off. But, you know, this is a place where we all come together, and we're here for a common reason, right? We're here to enjoy each other's company and our families and friends. And you know, we have to evolve. But then again, by providing good product, a good experience, a safe environment, interesting food, entertainment, all of that sort, we can't let ourselves become stale. And but by the same token, people also, they have an expectation you know, they may not realize it, but they have an expectation that they're going to have an experience that they can trust. I am laughing to myself as I'm thinking about the question you just asked me, because back in the fair of 1992, I was not here at the time, but in 1992, my predecessor, Wayne McCary, would tell the story about how, you know, he would hear very frequently people say things, the fair's the same every year, you know, the fair's the same every year. And yet we work hard to make it different. Like, we don't book acts. Like, we will not repeat a big name on our stage, no matter how available they might be to us. We won't repeat it for at least 5 years, if not a decade. So Wayne decided, and the team at the time decided, well, let's move all the food vendors around. We'll change the addresses. We'll change the locations of the food vendors. People will come to the fair and they'll think, well, the fair is very different this year. Well, it was a catastrophe, because people, when they came to the fairgrounds, they wanted to know exactly where that popcorn vendor was. They wanted to get their favorite slice of pizza from their vendor at the space they were at last year and the year before and the year before that. So that was a very broken idea right away. They realized it was a major mistake. And actually, it became not a joke, but it became almost a punchline, I suppose, for the industry across the country. Don't change the locations of your food vendors, because your patron will go wild.
They want different things, but they want to know where their favorites are.
That's right.
Gene, that's all the time we have for today. I really appreciate you spending a few minutes with me today, and I guess let's hope for some sunny days ahead.
Well, I thank you for that, Joe, and I encourage folks to visit thebiggie.com so they can plan their visit, because if you don't have a plan, you will be overwhelmed. So see thebiggie.com and schedule your day, and welcome to the fair.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West, sponsored by People's Bank. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.